Blog Talk Radio.
I was born by the river in a little tent in wood. Like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. It's been but I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. See, I go to the movie, and then I go downtown. My brother keep telling me I'm not to hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change don't come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. I said, brother, oh my brother, help me please. Then he winds up knocking me. Oh, keep knocking me back down on my knees. And whoa, there was time when I thought I wouldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it did.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom, family and listening audience. I'm your host, Shabael, my government name. Some have met me, Brother Rob. Tonight is a special night, because a double portion, we may say, like what we say in the Hebrew culture. Well, we're familiar with double portion in the Western culture, too. It means you like a double cheeseburger, for those who eat double cheeseburger. You know, two, a portion, double portion. And the reason why I say that, because today is the new moon, the beginning of a new month, but also it's the beginning of a new year. Last night was the last yesterday at sunset. Today was yesterday at sunset was the eve of Adar 2, the 13th month of last year that we just left out of at sunset today. As I speak, we're coming into the new moon. The new moon should come in, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check real quick. Here in Baltimore, new moon should be 7:39. So at the time we finish, I finish praying and giving an introduction, we'll be into the new moon, Rosh Hashanah. So like I said, it's a double portion tonight. It's also Rosh Kodesh, new moon, and Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the head of the year. That's what that means. Today's date, excuse me, before then, I'm Brother Rob, under the tutelage of Yakael Ben Gershom Ben Daniel, Rabbi Hamalek Yahushua, our spiritual leader from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahweh Congregation. Thank you. Today's date, on according to man, is April the 9th, Tuesday, April the 9th, on the Gregorian calendar, which is considered the fourth month of the year. But according to God, Yahweh, that created the heaven and earth, hallelujah, today, in two, three more minutes, just 7:39, it will be Abib the first, Abib 1, the first month of the year. Some, you may see in some of the scriptures, you will see the Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, Nisan. Nisan is used when they were in Babylonian captivity. You remember Israel, our forefathers, were in Babylonian captivity for disobeying Yahweh, for not giving the Sabbath, the land, its Sabbath rest. So they went in captivity. You find that story, that account in Jeremiah. They went in captivity for 70 years. So that's where the origin of the first month, Nisan, comes from, because if you remember in the book of Esther, the season we just we just came out of a celebration, a memorial celebration, not a holy day, in the 12th month, the month of Adar, Purim, that was a two-day celebration, commemorate, to remember that the Jews did not get annihilated, exterminated by Haman. Haman, from reading, says Haman was an ancestor of Amalek. You'll see the term Nisan used for the first month in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 7, because that's when Haman comes on the scene. If you haven't read that story, that account, it's a good story to read. Haman comes on the scene and he casted lots, which the word Purim, that's what the word Purim means. He casted lots and he threw lots. But we're going to get into some of that after I do the opening prayer. But I just wanted to make sure we know the date. Let me see what time it is now. Hallelujah. It's 7:39 now. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, thank you for giving us the breath of life and waking us up today. And thank you for bringing us through the year, Father Yahweh. Forgive us all our sins, Father Yahweh, sins knowingly and unknowingly. Father Yahweh, help us to remember as we come into this new year, as we usher into this new year that you have for us, Father Yahweh, that what this season points to, Father Yahweh, to remove the leaven, as we were reminded by our spiritual leader earlier today, with the text he sent out. This season is appointed to remove the leaven from us. Leaven is a symbolic term from any pride. Remove that from us so we can be humble, humility, service, display the fruits of the Spirit as our HaMashiach Yahushua displayed as he walked the earth and he did his ministry for, leading all the way up until the crucifixion when he laid down his life being the sacrifice, the Lamb of Yah who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. So let's remember this as we enter into this season. We're told to guard the month of Abib starting right now, starting this day on the 1st of Abib, leading up to the 14th, which is the day that the king, our king, my king, Melech, the Mashiach, the Haggadol, who gave his life, Yahushua. So let's keep that in mind. Father Yah, forgive me sins knowingly and knowingly. Give all those in the listening audience sins knowingly and knowingly. Father Yah, watch over all of our children and our children's children. Father Yah, watch over all the Kohen and their family. Continue to strengthen them and pour into them as we come into this new year, Father Yahweh. Watch over our spiritual leader. Continue to pour in him and watch over him and keep him in his head so he can continue to give us what we need so we can dispense it to the congregation and all those out that we come across in our daily walk. Continue praying for Sister Debbie as she heals and her family. Continue praying for Sister Naomi, Sister Darlene, mother, Sister Ella Sheba, her family member, Brother Hector. Lift up Brother Dale Well. He had a spirit of heaviness and feeling depressed as his family, the mourning of the loss of his uncle. Father Yah, we thank you. Continue to strengthen our married couples in Beth Yahweh that has marriages that's strong, to keep them strong. And the ones that don't have a strong marriage, that they build and to get their marriage strong in this new year, this new month, this season that we're coming in. This is a season of redemption and miracles. So this is the time to plant. You reap what you sow. This is the time to plant. So expect a harvest. Continue to watch over our Zakin Ward. Continue to heal his prostate. Continue to heal Brother Gary as he recovers. Thank you. And Father, forgive me if I forgot anything. But as your word said in Romans 8 and Deuteronomy, you answer our prayers before they leave out our mouth. And we have to believe them. That's the faith. You tell us that in Matthew chapter 6. The Father, you know what we need before we even ask. You just want to know, will we ask you and come in faith as our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yahushua. And we thank you in the name of your son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer. I'm going to read the blessings. The monthly blessing. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, and inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessings, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctifies Israel in the new moon. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's say once again, family, hallelujah. Lashana Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year. And as I was saying in the prayer, family, that this month, this is a month for, as you can say, miracles, redemption. We know the history. We're going to go down a little bit. For those who you know, bear with me if it sounds like we are broken record. But I always find it fascinating, no matter how much I look into something, I find something that I never knew. And I may have read it 10 or 15 times. Hallelujah. But for those who may not know, there's listening audiences out there, this may be first to them. As we always encourage you, get your things, your study devices, your pens, pads. But as you know me, I always say, if you don't have any of those things, the pens and pads, have your Bible by hand so you can be like the Bereans that we hear about in Acts chapter 17, that they followed along in the scriptures to see what the disciples were saying to them as they came in the city of Berea. So as anyone see that these are not things that we say, or we're learning in our priest class, thanks to our rabbi on Wednesday, hope I don't get it wrong, exegesis. If I get that wrong, my Kohen brother sent me a thumbs down, a thumbs back. And that word exegesis is I was told that, send me the definition because I didn't write it down. I'm just going off my memory. I was told that that's when a person gives their opinion or understanding of account that supposed to be a historically biblical account of Yahweh. That's why we have Brother Peter, and I think 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, says, this prophecy here don't come by no men of old, but men that was inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit. This is a sure prophecy that we have. These things that we're writing to you, because they walked with the Messiah when he was on the earth before he left. And they witnessed the things he did. Hallelujah. So it's not opinion. People say, well, that's your interpretation. That's your belief. No, we don't do like that here. That's Yahweh. And if we make an error, we correct them, like I'm going to correct something on the night when we get to it. Oh, yeah, I apologize. If anybody, if you can hear me, send me a thumbs up. I see a hallelujah from Aha Bell. That was a 737. Somebody send me a thumbs up if we're coming in. So, Keith, appreciate that. My Hebrew teacher, one of my Hebrew teachers sent me a message. Said they're going to give me a class tomorrow with some homework. Hallelujah. Yes, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. So, thank you. Okay. As we said, thanks to my rabbi, I'm going to use what I've been paying attention to, let people know I've been paying attention in class. I use one word, exegesis. what else I've heard? And teaching and preaching. And lately we've been asked, when one of the brothers, the teaching rabbi asked us a question, what he doing? Is he teaching or preaching? So if anybody over here, that, like, what do you mean? Why are you asking him what is he doing? That's what, if you be around or close by, you over here, rabbi asked one of us, what is he doing right now? He asked us what we learning from our class. Is the particular brother that's assigned to teach that day, is he teaching or preaching? Or is he doing both? So that's what that's about. If you over here, rabbi, ask one of us, what do you mean, what your brother doing? Okay, but enough of that. Tonight I will be doing those things that I've been learning in my priest class every Wednesday. Getting mad because I missed a couple of priest classes. We got to work. I mean, you got to work. That's the only thing. A man don't work, a man don't eat, right? See, can I get off early so I can get my priest class? But enough of that. But as you said earlier today, Abib, you'll find Abib mentioned in Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, if I'm not mistaken. How can I mess that up? I know I sent text out today. How can I forget? What did I send? It's a sign of getting old. No, Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, you'll see the word mentioned. This is the month that I brought you out, the month of Abib. So this month here, we're told in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, to guard the month of Abib. Why? Why guard the month of Abib? Because there's some very important, significant things, historical accounts that takes place in the month of Abib that cannot be erased, which has been tried to be erased from the chronicles of history, different nations all around the world, in the Far East, or right as we see over the last, I want to say I'm 56, over the last 25, 30 years, people are trying to erase God. They've been doing pretty good. They've been trying. But they can't do it because of remnant that God say in Matthew 24. Even if they would deceive, everyone would be fooled, even the very elect. But see, you can't fool the very elect. Why you can't fool the very elect, family? Well, you can't talk in on me, but you could text if you felt like it. Because why? The very elect, the ones of Yahweh, you stay in the word of Yahweh and you read his word and you pray to him and you wait for him to answer you, and then he guides you and he spirit filled you and spirit led you. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, you despise not prophesying, don't quench prophesying, but prove all things and hold fast to what's good and abstain from what's evil. So that's how you can't fool the very elect. So it's going to be a remnant of Yahweh, always going to be his a set apart people. That's what the task was when he came out of Egypt, during this month right now, coming out of being redeemed. Yahweh came going to redeem them. You read that account in Exodus chapter 3. Okay, like I said, Abib is found in Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, and then you go over that. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you'll see where it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, this is the beginning of your months. And that's why, if anyone listening new to this here, January the 1st is not the beginning of your month if you're a child of the Most High, because you've been redeemed, you've been set apart and sanctified to live a holy way, which he prescribed, and he gave you rules, a way to follow, so you don't have to do anything on your own behalf. His Torah, his Bible, shows you everything that's required to do that's pleasing to the Most High God, that you know that you're serving him the way that he wants to be served, not the way that you feel like he would want to be served. That's if you are God, but you're not God. So to make sure you follow him, he gave you his how to come to him in prayer, how to worship him, what days is holy and honorable to worship him. You'll find all his holy days in Leviticus chapter 23. And in those holy days, for new listening audience, you will not find Christmas. No Christmas. You will not find Easter. No Easter. No Halloween. No. You won't find that. No New Year's Day baby, January the 1st. You won't find that either. And we can go on. You know the list of holidays, worldly holidays. God has holy days, seven of them. You will find all of them listed in Leviticus 23. So that's why I say God even shows you in his word how to eat correctly, a healthy, healthy diet. Right there in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. So that's we know that the God that we serve, he set everything up for us. He didn't leave nothing for his followers and his true believers out. And that's why in John chapter 4, when Yahshua was talking to the woman at the well, when he was hungry, they were hungry, and they went to look for some food, and he stayed at the well, and a Samaritan woman came up and was talking to them, and she had a conversation or a dialogue, John chapter 4, and around about verse 20 to 21, she said, you must be a prophet. And she said, because we worship, the Samaritans, we worship up in the mountains, but you Jews said you worship in Jerusalem. And are you more mighty than our father Jacob, who built this well where we had drinking? Little did she know at that time. He told the woman, the time is going to be a time that you're not going to worship in the mountains at Samaria. Nor you are not going to worship in Jerusalem. You know why, 70 A.D., the temple got destroyed. He said, but the time is now that God seeks worshipers that worship him. That's in spirit and truth. That's the true worshipers. See, so you that's the lit. Sister Dawn taught me the correct way to say that. The litmus test. That's why Yahshua could say you know them by their fruits. It may look holy and spiritual, but how we check it, like you check the multiplication, or is that subtract? You know, I've been out of school a while. You check your work. You go in the Bible on a tour and you go, let's see. 2 Timothy 3:15-16 say, all scripture inspired by God for reproof, rebuke, and correction. The fully furnished the person walking in the light of the Most High. So that's how you check it. It's not based on someone's opinion or what they believe. It's not based on that. Because that can't give you salvation. That can't give you salvation. Luke chapter 10, I believe it was. Was it Luke chapter 10? Yeah. Oh, you know why they came in my mind. It was asked, what must I do to get salvation? And Yahshua didn't say, well, you know, help 100 old ladies across the street. Make sure you feed the cats in the neighborhood and stray dogs. You know what I'm saying? Say thank you, say please, which is good matter to have. No. He started naming the commandments. That's what gets you salvation. Hallelujah. So on this day, we're going to do a little time. So on this day, right now, we're just going to do a little something to see what happened in our ancestors' time on this day, to prepare for the Passover, the events that's going to come in the next 14 days, 15 days. So by doing that, okay, I did mention we just came out of Adar. Yeah, the 12th month when they were going to be annihilated, a Haman, ancestor of Amalek, and we know what Exodus 17 tells us, how Yahweh felt about that. Well, he gave us a warning. He said, what did he say? Yahweh said, we were all, Exodus 17:16 said, for he said, because Yahweh have sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So we see where Haman, how he had this spirit in him to want to annihilate the Jews, all because Mordecai, that's Esther's uncle in that story of Esther, I'm not going to stay on that long, but just to give you a synopsis on it. He wouldn't bow to him. Mordecai was like, I can give you your respect and all that, but as he only bowed to Yahweh. So we're to give people respect and honor, because it tells you what, Romans chapter 13, give honor to your authorities and all that, but it's a line, a limit that we, you know, as believers of the Most High. You say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, thank you. But certain, then when it's a line that it goes to where Because our allegiance, that is to Yahweh, the Most High. Amen. So, but we see Yahweh telling us in the account that it always would be a battle against Amalek. So we know Amalek, but that spirit, that spirit that we know is two spirits, the good spirit and the evil spirit. So what took place on the first of Abib, before we get to Moshe, we're going to go through a little history. Bear with me 1 minute. Wasn't planning to go this way. But it's all part of it, all good. Okay. So we told God the month of Abib, that's Deuteronomy chapter 16. So in this month, we know what happened when the beautiful thing, we got delivered. We got delivered because our forefathers was slaves in Egypt, because we know from our forefather Abraham was told in a vision, in a conversation with Yahweh, Genesis 13:14, we told him, you people will be in bondage for over 400 years. He was telling Abraham that, because Abraham is the father of our faith. And so what happens, we know the accounts, when you go all the way down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has 12 sons, and one of his sons, Joseph, was the youngest before his brother Benjamin came. Joseph was the youngest, had the coat of many colors. You read that account in Genesis chapter 37, all the way to 50, that closes out Genesis about Joseph. Brother sold him into slavery. He went down to Egypt. You know how the story was. Yahweh sent him before, because Yahweh was going to do a famine to make this, had to start all this in process. That's how we wind up in Egypt. But Yahweh knew this thousands of years, hundreds of years, to set this thing up. That's how miraculous and beautiful Yahweh is. So as the story goes, Jacob's son Joseph became mighty with interpreting the dream of the pharaohs, and the famine caused his brothers had to come, and they didn't know his identity until he revealed it to them. And once they found out who he was, Joseph told the pharaoh, this is my family, and they all came down to Egypt, and they lived there and dwelled successfully. They dwelled over in the land of Goshen. Did a little study. Goshen was a good land, too. They dwelled in the land of Goshen because they had many cattle. But as the time went on, there was a pharaoh that raised up another dynasty. I apologize for not finding out what dynasty that was. And he said he didn't know Joseph. Well, I wouldn't say he didn't know him, because those countries kept chronicles, just like we were just talking about Esther. The Persians, they had a chronicle, because the king couldn't sleep one night. He had a insomnia, I guess, or ate something wrong on his stomach, and the king couldn't sleep. And he said, come here, I want to read something. And they brought the book, and he started reading. And that's when he found out, he said, Mordecai. He found out that Esther's uncle told about a plot that two of the king's officials was going to do a coup. I guess that's what they would call it. I don't know if they would call it back then. Uprising, dethrone him, kill him. And Mordecai told, and King found out, and he massacred those people. And so the king said, what did I do for Mordecai? And that's, he said, you didn't do nothing for him. That's when he said, okay. And that's how it all got set up, because Haman wanted them to get honorable and distinguished. And so what he thought was for him, the king told him, he said, all right, now go do that for Mordecai. And then that's how the story unfolds, because at the whole time, though, they never knew Esther was a Jew and that she was Mordecai's niece, that adopted niece. But that, just to give you a little insight how things is, like what I meant by Chronicles. So that king knew of Joseph. That's why I find it funny that nowhere in Egypt, all the Egyptologists and people want to go to Egyptologists and all that, they want to talk about the first and this. I'll give them some things. I'm going to correct that right now, something that I did. But you're not going to tell me in your books, in their books, they didn't have Joseph's name in there. Well, you remember Joseph had another name that the Pharaoh gave him. So you're going to tell me that book, that name, it might not say Joseph, the Hebrew, but I'm sure it said the Hebrew and his name, because he was what, the prime minister, the vice president of Egypt? Nothing moved in Egypt unless Joseph said so, or unless the Pharaoh overruled it. The Pharaoh told him, if you read the accounts, a good account, starting chapter Genesis 37, all of 50, he said, when Joseph got in, he said, don't everything, you can do everything. Everything except, you know, you can run everything unless you know, I say not to. So everybody has an account of Yahweh people. That's what I'm trying to get to right now, family. The things that you're doing in your everyday life and walk at your job or whatever, oh, it's a book. You know why it's a book? People wrote diaries when I grew up. I started one. I don't know whatever happened to it. I think I was in the third or fourth grade. You know, when I was growing, you know, people talk about diaries, and it was movies or TV shows. I always saw a diary or something. But I think people got away from writing diaries. But I'm sure in some diary, people had that. And on your job, somebody's writing. Some people still write things. It may not be in a book now. It may be on a computer disk or flash drive. But they're writing something about you. Because remember the Apostle Paul, the word said, we live in epistles now. The book is still being written through your livelihood. The way, because you're the salt of the world and the light of the world. So on those accounts. But what I wanted to say on that note, it still stands Yahweh's people, because what I had to correct something I said, and thanks to my Aki Kohen brothers, what time is it? Good, 807. Kohen Dale Well called me. Couple weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, Kohen Dale Well called me. And then that Wednesday, because he always called me at the either Bible study in the morning or Sabbath Torah portion in the evening, usually called me. And then last week he called me on regular work, during the week, like a Monday or Tuesday. But I'm just saying, and he asked me something. I said, hey, I got to check that out and go over there. Well, he told out for that. He said, just checking out, Keith. And then when I went to class that Wednesday, Aki Ariel and Aki Yariel asked me a question. And I said, man, I get back with you. I didn't get back with them because I was doing something else, studying something else. But it's all coming up. It's going to come out right now, what I'm saying. And because I had said a statement, because I had taught, I think, 2 weeks, a week before that. And I had taught. Because I had goodness, the fruit of the spirit for goodness. And I had taught, and I had mentioned something that my coworker has sent me, and I was all irate about it. Like, they always saying something, them Egyptologists get on my nerves. And I said, they know we was in Egypt. They know we built the pyramids. Thank God that one wasn't, I wish it was. So you can see how the integrity that we do, what we do here at Beth Yahweh. If we make a mistake or error, we correct it. We don't push it under the rug and turn it away and go, oh, well, no. Nah. We want you to get the unadulterated, unwatered down, the straight truth of Yahweh and Most High. Why? That's how you serve him. Like I told you, that woman at the well, that time we are now, spirit and truth, not spirit and some falsehood and a little bit of spirit and truth. That's the true worshipers of the day. He needs that. That's the remnant right now. But what I had said got caught up with the Egyptologists, because they make you mad sometimes. Like, we was first, we built this, we told that. Like, cool. And my brother's listening. What I should have said was this. That's why I had to learn to calm down and just don't jump. We didn't build the pyramids. Yes, we were slaves in Egypt. You'll find that in Exodus chapter, starting at chapter 3 or 4. Start that account right there because the Passover is going to come in chapter 12. Building up to that. We were slaves down in Egypt because that's what the prophecy that Yahweh told Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. Excuse me. We were slaves. We didn't build pyramids. There was something Yahweh, Yariel said, and something Rabbi said about 2 years ago. He asked us a question. We went, I don't know. We didn't build it because why? Rabbi taught us this. You read this in the account in Genesis about Joseph. They looked at the Hebrews as detestable beneath them, herdmen, farmers, beneath them, detestable. So there's no way they would allow a Hebrew slave that's detestable to build a artifice, a magnificent tombstones, mausoleum, because that's all it was. That's all a pyramid is. If you really look at it, look at the research, people marvel over it, all that. Like Brother Ariel said, a big cemetery. So, ain't not joking, but the truth is. So they would never allow us to build that. They build that. So I give the Egyptologists that. I give you that. No, I'm not going with some people out here talking about Martians came down and people, I ain't getting with all that. My scriptures don't say nothing about Martian land and all that. Just say the earth. So what we did build, if you read the account when they came out of and crossed over the Red Sea, or when they left out, near a place called Pithom, the city of Ramses. We did build things for the Pharaoh Ramses. So we built a lot of temples and we built cities down there. So I give the Egyptians that they built the pyramids. Our ancestors built those cities and those temples. But the key is what our ancestors built that is something that we learned from Father Abraham. We're looking for a city who the maker is God, Yahweh. That's the city we're going to. That's the purpose of us getting redeemed. And Yahweh took us back and he pulled us out of Egypt. So I correct that when I did say, yeah, you know, we were down there, we were slaves, we were building. We didn't build the pyramids, but we built them cities. Because why? That's in the Torah. Isaiah 8:20 gives us, he said, for the law and the testimony, if they don't speak that, there's no light in them. So books can say many things. There's a lot of books out here and people's opinions. What's the word? Exegesis. That's not my teaching that my rabbi taught me in class. Exegesis. Many people have opinions, but we, the children of Yahweh, we go by that Torah, that word, because why? That's the word of Yah. That's the mind of Yahweh. Hallelujah. So that's one thing. But now I want to get on the first month. When they was leaving, remember they had to go through the Red Sea. Yahweh did a miracle and he parted the Red Sea while the Pharaoh's army was coming on him. And remember the word Mizraim, double straight. Remember, Egypt points to bondage. Remember, because we was prisoners. Our ancestors were prisoners down there. They was slaves. So Yahweh come and what he do? He rises us up and he delivers us and he redeems us. He pulls us out of slavery. So now you fast forward to modern time. Yahweh, when you give your life to him and follow his laws, commandments, and statutes that he gave for everyone, not just that was for Moses and them back then, that was for Hebrews back then, that's for everyone that exists after the flood in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah and his three sons and his wife and them came out and gave the offerings up to the Most High. That's for everybody since then. Everyone been redeemed. So that's what the significance of that. He redeemed you. He got you back. What did he do? He got his children back. Why? The Pharaoh took his children. What did he call Israel? He said, Israel is my firstborn. So he got his children back. He redeemed them back. So that's his. They were his. That's why he said, and that's why the account, when he said, we know how it goes when we get this. What I'm saying? Exodus. Not Exodus. Exodus. Shemot. Names. We know how it goes. So he redeemed. He got us out. He pulled us out of slavery. So in times now, this is how you got to look at when you worship him. That's what you don't want to go back. You want to keep that leaven out of you. You don't want to go back to the ways of the flesh, those fleshly ways that we learned in the fruit of the Spirit that we went through in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 17, versus the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to walk in those ways. We've been redeemed people, so we take off them clothes, them slave clothes. It's like Lazarus had grave clothes. We had slave clothes, so we take that way off and we walk in the light of children that's redeemed. So on Exodus chapter 40, I'm going to read this in your head, verse 2, it says, on the first day of the first month, that's the month of Abib, month of Nisan, thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put there in the ark of the testimony and cover the ark with the veil. And so as we see right there, that's when the tabernacle first got reared up. It got reared up on the first of the first month. When they came up, the next year, remember, it was in the wilderness. It was in the wilderness for 40 years. Years before they even got to the promised land. Remember, they crossed the Red Sea. They stayed in the wilderness. But that's where Yahweh had his first sanctuary set up. Verse 17, you go down to verse 17, Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, it said, it came to pass in the first month, in the second year. So the second year, on the first day, which is, if you went back thousands of years from today, the night that we're on right now, they came out, and then not only did they come out, the second year, the tabernacle was reared up, Exodus chapter 40, verse 2. Like I said, we're just going to go down, see some of these things that happened on the first. And you can find it also in Numbers chapter 1. A lot of people say, oh, the Bible is contradiction. No, it's not. You just have to understand it. You just had to be set under someone that was set by him, that was inspired by Yahweh to teach, and then wait on Yahweh to open up your spiritual eyes. Like we read in, what's that, Luke chapter 23, 24, when they were walking down the road talking about, and he came up and said, what's going on? Why y'all looking so sad? He said, man, where you from, man? You don't know what's going on, what happened? Man, they crucified Yahshua, man. He said he was going to come back after 3 days. Man, ain't nobody saying that, brother. Man. Golly, man. And he said that he was talking. He kept walking to them. And he said he expounded on things. And he said he went all the way back to Moses and the prophets. And then it said finally their eyes opened up. They understand. See, we can talk. I had to learn this 2 years ago talking to my sister and people. I can talk to them till my tongue fall out. Until the pages fall off the Bible. Or my cell phone, you know how cell phones now, they smart when you just touch them. I can touch it till it won't touch no more and go see right here what it reads. Keep going to scripture. It won't even work no more. the screen to crack. Until Yahweh, oh, let me read that verse. Let me ask one of the brothers, like, brothers, read that for me, read. What's that? What I said, that's Luke something, right? Let me find this real quick. I'm just glad that came up. What I said, Luke 23? Or was it Luke 24? You can really find out one minute. It's bad with me real quick, man. And we can get back to that. Because like I said, we're just going down what happened on the first of a bee. We just found out, you know, they came out on the first of a bee. And then we see the second year on the same day they came out on the 15th of a bee. But we see what happened on the first of a bee, the second year while they came out from Egypt. When Yahweh said, this is the beginning of your months. So on now the second year of the beginning of the month, what he wanted to establish, that while I'm going to raise up my temple, I'm going to start showing you worship. I'm going to show you how most high, how I want to be honored, how you're going to teach the rest of the nation, because you're going to be kingdom of priests. You know how it go. Luke chapter 24 says, yeah, hallelujah. Luke 24 verse 13, I'm going to read it in your head. It says, the road to Emmaus. The same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and deliberated, Yahshua himself came up and walked along. That's what I was saying. You know, I messed it up. In verse 16, Luke 24:16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing. Here I said, their eyes were kept from recognizing. Their spiritual ears was closed. Your spiritual eyes can be closed. That's why you always wonder why I say, open our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, Father God. Remember I told you earlier, I said, man, I done read this. I know it's 15, 20 times, and I still didn't see that stuff still come out of it. Because why? That's the living word of God. So you read another 20 times. 5 years from now, and more stuff going to come out of it. Because why? It's alive. Okay. Verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing? Yahshua is he asked them, what are you discussing? So intently, as you walk along, they stood still with sadness on their face. One of them named Cleophas, I get ready to say Cletus. I better put my glasses on, mess this up. This ain't no nutty professor. Named Cleophas asked him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in recent days? Remember, because why the Passover, not only it was Passover season, but it had been fulfilled. Yahshua had got crucified. Hallelujah. Verse 19. This Yahshua asked him. He said, "What thing?" He asked, and the events involving Yahshua and Nazareth. They answered, "This man was a prophet, powerful in speech and action before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping he was the one who would redeem Israel." Hear that word, redeem? Hallelujah. See, he had to come and redeem and do it on the tree that staked that day, thousands of years after Yahweh redeemed them using a mediator, using his man Moshe to bring them out of Egypt, how he redeemed them. Hallelujah. Okay. Our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to sentence of death and crucified him, but we were hoping that he was one who redeemed Israel. And besides all this, it is the third day, that's verse 21, since these things took place. Furthermore, some of our women astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, but they did not find his body. They came and told, you notice he said it's the third day, so they still remember when he was saying this thing. He said, this temple, I'm going to destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'm going to come back. Remember he told him one time, he was getting close, he said, look, it's time getting close. Now, we going here this time, son of man, I got to give myself up. But this, all right. But the power, Father God, he going to give me the power to raise it back up. Hallelujah. There's something, verse 23, but they did not find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that Yahshua was alive. that some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had described, but him they did not see. Then Yahshua said to them, O foolish ones, how slow you hearts to believe all the prophets had spoken? Was it not necessary for the Mashiach to suffer these things and then to enter the glory? And beginning with Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was written in all the scriptures about himself. As they approached the village where they were headed, he seemed to be going further. But they pleaded with him, stay with us, for it is nearly even and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, while he was reclining at the table with them, he took the bread, spoke and blessing and broke it and gave it to them. Then they, verse 31, that's what I was talking about. Then their eyes was open and they recognized Yahshua and he disappeared from their sight. Verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found 11 and those with them gathered together saying, Yahshua has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what has happened on the road and how they recognized Yahshua and breaking the bread. Hallelujah. And see, that verse is right there that I was saying, it's until Yahweh. But I'm saying don't get frustrated and stop, because I got to that point a couple years. Don't say, I'm through talking to people. They don't get it. They don't get it. No. You got to get renewed. You got to get recharged, that battery recharged. And you got it's a season. You got to remember, it's seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22. He said this is going to be this way to the end of time. So what we got to do? You reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6, say that, right? You reap what you got to sow. Remember, and when it comes to reaping and sowing, you know how I go. The land got to you got to cultivate the land. You got to cultivate the land. Remember, Yahshua gave us the parable, Matthew 13, hallelujah. Remember, it was different kind of soils. Remember, some fell on rocky, some fell on thorny. So we had to keep all these things in mind, right? Go all the way going back to Father Abraham. Remember Abraham when he had the vision, Yahweh told him to put the animals, split them in half, but the birds didn't cut in half. Remember, and then the animals cut in half, and then Yahweh, Abraham got tired and fell in a slumber, and Yahweh walked between, came between, you know, to seal the covenant, the first time he sealed the covenant, right, with Abraham. But what it say, some fowls came, and Abraham had to shoo away the birds. That's how we got to look like in the world that we in now. It's going to be naysayers and people going to put doubt, cause doubt in people. When they come and say, hey, man, I met this brother named Ahabel, or this brother named Mario, or Yariel, man, you know, security guard don't talk that much, but, man, that brother, when he talk that word. You know, a brother named Avi, man. He not only know Kung Fu, man, this brother know the word. I met a sister named, Bithia, sister named Kalithia. I almost got put out the library. She was teaching so good, I started shouting. See, that's why we got to keep doing it. Because we got to be like Abraham, shooing them birds away. Because why? Remember, what birds come and do? They eat up the seed. So what's the word of God? The word of God is the seed. Not what these people telling you on TV, pastors, is not of Yahweh, telling you people, your money, you sold this right now, was just the first of them. You know what beef is. They don't even follow the things that Yahweh, the Most High, but they'll use it for a money market. You know what the day is? The day is the first of Abib on a Jewish calendar. That's right. So right now, what I want you to do, you want your blessing. You know what this month points to? Deuteronomy 16. They don't even tell people. They tell people we ain't even in the Old Testament. But they will go in there and go, Deuteronomy 16 tell you protect the month of Abib. You know what the word protect means? Then they even break a little Hebrew. Hedge. Does that mean you hedge it up like, you know? So that means you start the day on Abib first and you sow $100 seed. Because you know the Passover is coming up. And then when you get to the 10th day, that's when they picked the lamb. They selected a lamb. So on that day, I want you to give $200. And then on the 14th, I want you to give more, double portion. Yeah, they'll eat this month up and don't even believe in nothing, crooks. But that's enough of them. Because that's what we're here for. We're going to shoot them away. Because why? We got to cultivate that land and make that seed grow. And it's the time of the year that seed is fertile. That's give me that ground is fertile. Just to tell, yeah, we just came out of Devils 2 weeks ago, the Devils Holy Week. And they try to tell people passion. That's a shame what they doing. Can't even find it in the scriptures, bits and pieces. But this is in the scriptures. This is the count that anybody to tell you, like I've been telling people, you a child of God, you want to be obedient child of God, like he told that woman at the well in John chapter 4:22. You got to serve him in spirit and all truth, not a little bit, some truth. And God know my heart, and he understand. He know your heart. He told you that. Jeremiah told you first. Dude, God spoke to Jeremiah, and then he came on the scene in the flesh and told you to. I think it was in what, Matthew 12, John 12, forgive me. Said your heart full of murderous adultery. You know your heart. Yes, he do. The thing is, you know your heart, and if you're willing to change your heart and not on your own, but you surrender yourself and humble yourself, get the leaven out the way and the pride, and you allow him and let's say, Father, wash me and cleanse me through your word and let me change me so the fruit of your spirit can dwell through me, so it can flourish through me, so I produce the fruits so people can see. He said, you produce much fruit. So he said, oh, this brother, sister, they just don't talk Bible like some people. They actually living it. I asked him or her what they doing. They said they can't do that till the sun go down on Saturday or something. Like, what? Yeah, they said they can't do that. And I offered them a shrimp basket because I liked the way they taught me about Jesus. And they said they can't even eat shrimp. God, they don't just talk. They busy. Hallelujah. But let's get back to some of the things that took place on, the things that took place on the first day of the month. We knew they came out, right? We knew Yahweh said this is the first month in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that you came out in the month of a bee. That you didn't come out, you're getting ready to come out. They were getting ready to come out 14 days after that, but he's letting them know this is the first of your month. Get ready, because some things had to occur leading up to them coming out on the 15th. Everybody knows what had to occur. On the 10th, you did what? You selected the lamb. And you kept that lamb in your house for 4 days. Then on the 14th, everybody know what you dressed. Wasn't nobody sitting around chilling like I'm in my slippers now and my shorts. No, you was dressed, ready to go. You had to eat that with haste. That's the point of the unleavened bread. You didn't have time for the bread to rise like it normally would do. You're going to eat this on the roll, as we say, and we're rolling out. You moving out. So these things, but you let know this is the beginning of your month. This is the beginning of your year. This right here, the beginning of your year. So that's why people had to understand, if you're a believer, like I explained to people, you go to church or every Sunday, you said you're trying to watch, you're a child of God, you're blessed, sanctified. Sanctified by the blood and all that. This is your new year. And if you don't know anything about this one, you better try to find out this one, much as you knew about the little baby new year story and the ball falling down up in New York and counting down and all that. You better learn this one, because this is where it all starts. Your salvation begins right here. Your redemption begins right here. That's why Yahshua came down. When you were talking about you covered by the blood and sanctified and all that, you got to know about this right here, because that's what he did and laid his life down for, to fulfill that. All right, first month, where we at? Okay, we did in the first month, or the second year in the first month that they came out. That was in Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, that when they read up the temple, the tabernacle, so Yahweh going to show some worship. So he didn't even waste no time, did he? The second year that they came out. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, tell you, the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was raised up, so it was up. So he ain't let no time go by, like, you going to worship with me? Because why? He said, put the tabernacle up, because why? So I can come and dwell and talk to you between the two cherubs. Hallelujah. So he redeemed them, and he just didn't chill away from them and all that. No, he came that way he could fellowship with them. Yahweh came and inhabited, he fellowship with his people, his children that he redeemed, okay? And I said you also can find it in Numbers chapter 1:1. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month. Excuse me. The first day of the second month. No, that's something else. I read that and I slowed down. That's the first day of the seventh, second month. But we was talking about Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, and Exodus 40, verse 17, that the first month in the second year on the first day, that's when the tabernacle was read. Read, all right, what else we want to find out on this? So, oh, yeah, it was something else. On the first day. Oh, I know what I want. It should be in Chronicles. Bear with me, family. I want to see something. Second Chronicles chapter 29:17. Oh, here's another first. That's what I'm looking for, another first. Second Chronicles 29:3. It said Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 20 years. So he reigned 29 years. So he was what, 54? Sorry about that. I messed up my math. We know the count with Hezekiah, right? Hezekiah pulls the only reign. What's that? 34 years. I mean, excuse me, 14 years. Did I do that right? Because the reason why I said that, because it said he reigned 29 years. Remember, Hezekiah pulls that died. And Yahweh extended, I think it was 15, 14 years on his life. Hallelujah. That goes to show you the power of prayer. And we have a faith in Yahweh. Verse 3 in 2 Chronicles 29:3, it said, this is talking about Hezekiah. He, in his first year of his reign, in the first month, so he was 25 years old, so for young people out there thinking, I'm young and all that, he opened the doors of the house of Yahweh and repaired them. Hallelujah. Going down to verse 17, 2 Chronicles 29:17. Now they begin on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of Yahweh. So they sanctified the house of Yahweh in 8 days. And the 16th day of the first month, they made an end of it. So they begin on the first day of the month to sanctify during Hezekiah's time. Something else. I think it's Ezekiel. Ah, here we go. Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. For upon the first day of the first month, begin he go up from Babylon on the first day of the fifth month. But that's not it. I want to stick with this temple cleanse. Bear with me, friends. Ezekiel, that's what I looked at. Ezra. My fault. I apologize. Ezra. Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 17, it came to pass in the 7th and 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, that's a B, that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was peeled, yet he no wages nor his army for Tyrus for the service that he has served against us. Okay. And it came to pass in 12. That's not it. Okay. All right, here it is. This is hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 18. Thus said Yahweh, in the first month of the first day of the month, that would be the first day right now, the beginning of your years. See, this is going on after Yahweh told Moshe that. Now, they out of Egypt now. They've been long gone out of Egypt right now. See, they're in captivity time right now. That's what he said. Well, it came out of captivity. He said, thus said Yahweh, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. That's what I wanted to see. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the post of the house, upon the four corners, and settle the altar upon the post of the gates near the inner court. And you should do that. Do and so shall do the seventh day of the month. So the first day of Abib right now, the priest is doing that. They're cleansing the altar, the sanctuary. Then verse 20 in Ezekiel 45, Ezekiel 45, verse 20, they got to do it on the seventh day also. It says you should do the seventh day of the month, seventh day of the month of Abib. So that's how they prepared that tabernacle. That's how they get it cleansed, the altars. Because I was always wondering, like, man, that's kind of messy, isn't it? Because, you know, it requires a blood sacrifice. And they had to go in there doing what? The high priest, high priest, has to go in there, holds the holy. So it has to be cleansed. So that points to a shadow of Yahushua, our high Kodol, who gave his life on the Pesach to redeem us from sin. Okay, so yeah, that was basically it on the importance of what happened on this first day, 843. Good. Okay, we talked about, bam. What else I got to see right here? I'm going to read something. Man, I didn't even read my opening scripture. That's never too late, isn't it? Got to find out where it is. Could be open scripture, but I'm gonna read it now while I pause before I go to this last stuff. I do know it was Psalm 77. I forgot what verse it was, man. Oh, here it is. Psalm 77. It says, in a day of trouble, I sought Yahweh. It's right in front of my face. I apologize. I'm going to go down to verse 14 of Psalm 77. Sorry about that. Wow, God. Verse 14, starting at verse 10, it said, so I said, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the works of Yahweh. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will reflect on all you have done and ponder your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What mighty one is so great as our mighty one? Hallelujah. That's why I wanted this. Verse 14, you are the mighty one, Elohim, who works wonders. You display your strength among the peoples. With power, you redeem your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Verse 16, the waters saw you, O Yahweh. The waters saw you and swirled, even the depths were shaken. The clouds poured down a water, the skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder resounded in the whirlwind and lightened up the world, and the earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, but your footprints were not to be found. Hallelujah. Verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moshe and Aaron. So this month on this day. This, those are the things that when he told Moses, this is going to be the first of your year. And then things had led up to it. But then as we see when they came out the second year in the first month on this day, the tabernacle ran up so he could come and commune with them and continue give them instructions. And then we see also, as I read some accounts, what took place on the first of this month also. When Hezekiah began his reign, he started his reign at 25 years old. And what did he do? He repaired and cleaned up the temple. Hallelujah. And then we also seen in Ezekiel, what happens on the first of this month. I remember Brother Mariel taught that. And I was like, man, I never even knew that. I was always wondering, was that place kind of messy? Never hear nothing about cleaning up. And you see what happens. You take a bullock and you cleanse everything. You do it on the first. Bam. And then you got to do it on the seventh also. Bam. So we see those things that Yahweh did, how the temple was cleansed. And we see all these things lead up to the Passover lamb. And pointing to the day of the Passover. So like I said, this season we had to remove the leaven. 847. We had to remove the leaven. Be mindful that this season, what it points to, we've been redeemed. And to be redeemed, we have to change and take off that grave clothes and that old way, that the fleshly, the stony heart, and have a more more obedient heart to the Most High. Ezekiel, I got another opening, if I can remember it. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will also give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's what I was trying to say, family. I apologize. I butchered that up. And we know in that chapter, right, that chapter 36 is leading up before the chapter 37, where Yahweh asked, can those dry bones be restored? That was a beautiful lesson. I hope that one was on Blog Talk. Brother Ahabel did that December 2023. Am I saying that right? Nope. Yeah, December 2023, Brother Ahabel did, January 2023, Ahabel did that, January 2023, Ahabel did the Valley of the Dry Bones on a Blog Talk on a Sabbath morning. he did a nice lip, so I hope you can get a chance to go back and reminisce. During this month of Abib, go back into the archives and listen to Brother Yariel. Can it be that simple? Listen to Brother Ariel, Hebrew culture. Listen to Brother Dale Well, Magnify the Torah. Just go back. You can go back even further. We had a sister Malka. She did lessons. Yo, this years in the archive. Rabbi Yakael, he no longer teach Blog Talk. Excuse me. Yeah, he no longer is in the lineup of Blog Talk. He does other things, but he has many on the archive. His last one that he did, that I know he did on a Saturday, I think it was in July 2022, he did the book of Ecclesiastes. Yeah, that was like his last segment on Blog Talk because he removed himself out of the lineup and do other things. So during this time of these leading up to this month, he said, observe the month of Abib, so observe your spirit and go back in the archives and go over things like I found out by reading things that I didn't read, but I never saw it like that before. What else is something I was going to bring out? Oh, during this month, it was a sacrifice, right? That's what Passover is pointed to. And we talked about Father Abraham, because remember, it all started in Genesis 12 with Father Abraham. And with Father Abraham, Yahweh told him, in Genesis chapter 22? Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 22, that's the offering of Isaac. God tested Abraham, wanted to see where Abraham's faith was at. He told him, take your only son. You know the account. And it says in verse 4, Abraham got up early. Verse 3 with his servants, sat on the donkey, took the servant, his son Isaac, and split the wood, and he set a place that Yahweh designated. Because Yahweh told him, Abraham, go to the land of Moriah, and I will show you where to go at. So Yahweh picks the sacrifice. Yahweh picks the place of the sacrifice. Yahweh doesn't leave nothing unfulfilled. He plans everything for his children. That's why it behooves you to follow his way. That's why he gave his Bible, so you don't have to be led astray. And Abraham said, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he told the servants, you stay here. Me and the boy, we will go there to worship, and then we will return. Verse 5, hallelujah. And you know how the account goes. Isaac asked him, but you notice he said, me and the boy return. Now, Abraham, Yahweh told me, going to take your son, Isaac, who you love, I know you love Isaac, and you're going to give him for sacrifice. And then what happened? You know how it goes. Said, Abraham, don't touch him. Because Isaac asked, verse 7, Isaac said, I see our father, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham asked God himself will provide the lamb. Hallelujah. And we know how it goes. Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood. He bound Isaac and placed him on the altar. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife. And just as he was going to do it, verse 11, the angel of Yahweh called out to him and said, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay hand on the boy. Do not hurt him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not held your only son for him. And then we just say Abraham looked and saw behind him a ram in the thicket. What I'm reading that for is because what I was going to say was, when you think about these accounts in Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, what that says? No, that wasn't the one. It must be verse 42. I don't know what I wrote down. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 42. Because the Israelites are my servants, whom I brought out the land of Egypt, they are not to be sold as slaves. You're not to rule over them harshly. So what I was saying with that was, because leading up to, remember, Abraham is the father of faith, and he was told to sacrifice Isaac. 2 Kings chapter 3. Verse 26, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not prevail. Verse 27, so he took his firstborn who would succeed him, sound like Isaac and Abraham, right, and offered him as a burnt offering on the city wall, that there was a great fury against the Israelites, so they withdrew and returned to his land. This don't sound like something that a noble man like Abraham would do, right? Jeremiah 19, verse 5, what that one say? They built high places to Baal, which to burn their children in the fire, offering to Baal, something I never commanded or mentioned, nor did it in my mind. So we know Yahweh wouldn't have never did that. Micah chapter 6, verse 5. Micah chapter 6, verse 5. I think that's one more. For I brought you out of the land of Israel, Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent Moses before you as well as Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, the king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey. Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil, shall I present my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for my sin? He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly? So I'm saying all that to say this, family, that Yahweh, this season that we into, reflect on it, remove the leaven. come into it. This is a season. This is a month of miracles. And you told the God this, so not only God this, look at your body, your mind. Guard your mind. Keep your mind and everything on the Most High. Brother Eliezer used to always tell you, keep Yahweh first in your mind. And so as we see right now, Abraham was going to get Isaac, but he didn't because that wasn't a sacrifice. That one couldn't do it. Yahweh gave his son, Yahushua, hallelujah, and raised him up so he can redeem us. And that's why he can ask for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. But what he do? He didn't kill all the firstborn. What he do? He said, I'm going to pick the tribe of Levi, and I'm going to set them on side, and they're going to do my work for me. So everything belongs to Yahweh. So even if he did tell, if Abraham had done that, but Abraham believed that he was going to come back. You heard what he said. And Abraham knew, this is not the God that I know that would tell me to kill my son. And it sounds kind of, they go to show the love that Yahweh had, that he gave his only begotten son for our lives to redeem us, to pull us out of bondage and slavery. And he can do that because why? The earth is his and all the fullness thereof is his. Everything belongs to Yahweh. We just servants and stewards. Blessed are you, Yahshua, our mighty one, King of the universe. May this month be the end of our travails, start and beginnings for the redemption of our souls. For you have chosen your people, Israel, from all of the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of the new moons for us. Blessed are you, Yahshua, who sanctifies Israel and the new moon. And family, whatever went on in your life and during the last of this year that just we left out of, thank Yahweh for the trials, the tribulations, the good and the bad, knowing that we and look and thank him for the things that to come, because Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13:7. We serve a mighty one that can redeem. And just reflect over this time. Go read through the Torah. See all the things, the wonders that he's done. Think over in your quiet time the things that he's done for you and your family that's not even written in the Torah. Or some similarities, because why? We are the children of the book also. We as modern day people. So family, on that note, I want everybody to enjoy this Rosh Hashanah. And be thankful for all that you have. The things that you don't have, thank Yahweh for being a good father that knowing that he provides everything that you need so he don't lose you. He don't want to lose you to nothing, to no money. He don't want you being trapped by anything, no money, no material.
I had to turn it off.
Amen. So that's it, everybody, right?
Best of all,
your name, so the world will know who's to blame for all the wrong. I pray that your will be done. And the weak ones too. Yes, I do. And all of those who are strong, let them know their purpose. Let them be agents for you. Well, let them work for you. Yeah. And let your Holy Spirit walk across the waters of my mind. Proud of what you've done, so I come to you through your Son, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for another day. My prayer, my prayer for peace. And I pray, well, and I ask for wisdom,
teach mother to pray,
love, joy, happiness, hey, and I pray that your will be done,
pray.
Well, that your will be
he
done.
Needs to learn to pray.